an all-star cast on Golf Today this Wednesday. World number one, Scotty Scheffler, is back in action, hoping to add yet more wins to an already historic season. Our Todd Lewis is going to sit down with the Olympic gold medalist. Max Homa will join us too. 2024 hasn't quite been what he wanted or expected, but he's in the postseason and looking for a spark to finish strong. He's going to assess his year for us. And the Tour's latest winner is here. Aaron Rye hit his last shot Sunday night and became the official winner of the Wyndham Championship Monday morning. We're going to find out if he's had time to celebrate before getting back to work in Memphis. Golf Today starts right now.
Golf Today.
Welcome into Golf Today. I'm Eamon Lynch alongside Jordan Cornett. A big week on the PGA Tour. Playoff season beginning. All of the big names in action. A few of them are even stopping by to say hello.
It's not work today. I mean, look, it's never work when it's with you, my friend. But when we're talking to Aaron Rye.
Oh, you sweet talker.
We're talking to Max Homa. We're talking to Burko about what's going on at the USAM. It's going to be a fun couple hours here, my friend.
It really is. And there's a lot of pressure on these guys. You know, they're fun guys. They're enjoying themselves. If you're Aaron Rye, you're riding high right now, but there is so much at stake for these guys over the next few weeks. It really is a dash to the finish line so they can fall into a pile of cash at the end of that finish
exactly.
line.
It always comes back to that, doesn't it? Somehow, some way. Well, let's not, as we focus on right now, let's also look ahead because there's a whole lot going on in the golf world currently. As we take a look at the release of the regular season schedule for 25, 39 event schedule, 36 FedEx Cup regular season events, 3 FedEx Cup playoff events, as usual, the 8 signature events, 18 full field events, and 5 additional ones. And 2025 FedEx fall schedule will be announced at a later date. How about those signature events as we lean in a little bit more here to how they will look? And of course, no purse money revealed, but there's your layout. And there's some minor adjustments. The first thing I look at, obviously, is the Memorial returns to its traditional place there. Give a little breathing room before a major. That was kind of a sticking point this past season. But pretty, I'd say, ho-hum, some minor changes there. What's your initial reaction, Eamon, as you get a look?
Yeah, it really isn't a great deal of changes here. There are things, if you look below the surface level, that are interesting. RBC has renewed its contract for 2 PGA Tour events, the RBC Canadian Open and the RBC Heritage down in Hidden Head Island. They are both renewed for 1 year. They were both renewed for 1 year for 2024 as well, because this is one of the tour's biggest sponsors, but it's a vote of confidence, but with a little uncertainty, a little trepidation there, because RBC is waiting to see what shakes out in terms of what the future landscape of the PGA Tour looks like. They are a sponsor of one of the signature events down in Hilton Head. So it does suggest, or hint at least, the kind of uncertainty that goes along with the PGA Tour these days.
Yeah, I'm excited, you know, to see Wells Fargo, the PGA Championship, is being hosted there at Quail Hollow. So that becomes the Truist. And it'll be played in Philly at the Cricket Club. It's one of my favorite courses. I've been lucky enough to go over there and, like you say, lose a couple balls that maybe I can go regain while watching some high level golf there. But I think the Memorial, being a guy from Ohio and understanding the significance of that tournament when properly placed in its traditional spot, is of great enjoyment, and I look forward to it being back there.
And that has significance as well for a broader issue. I suppose it's a broader issue in the game, but it comes out with a schedule all the time as well. Where are the opportunities for the guys who are outside the top 50? I suppose, for want of a better term, the journeymen on the PGA Tour. And if you go back pre the creation of signature events, go back a couple of years, you could reasonably expect as an average card-carrying member of the PGA Tour to get about 24 starts in the season. There are 24 events that you could be reasonably assured that you could earn a spot in the field. These days with the signature events, that's probably down to the 18 to 20 range. Can be a little bit more if you play well, but that's pretty much slicing off a lot of access for those guys. And that's just talking about the period between January and the Wyndham Championship. There used to be the fall series in the wraparound season. That was another 7 or 8 events those guys had to kind of, it was like a head start program for journeymen. So by the time the elite guys showed up in January, the rest of the guys had a head start on them. Those are no longer continuing as part of a sort of a season starter. It's now kind of where they go jockeying for position after the playoffs have ended. So if you're a journeyman, your ability to actually get any kind of momentum and access to the PGA Tour is becoming a little limited. And when they moved the Memorial last year, that led to a signature event, then a US Open, than a signature event.
We heard, Scotty was, I don't want to say very vocal, but he touched upon that, how that became a grinder that was unusual for them, very atypical. So getting back to a little bit of the norm, I'm also curious. I mean, we the media, of course, we react to it. Yeah. I'm curious when we have a chance to talk to guys like Max Homa, how they feel about the new schedule, if it's something they pay attention to or if it's, you know, much ado about nothing.
Well, for guys like that, I do think it matters, certainly in the lead up to a major championship. But if you're asked to bookend a major championship with guaranteed starts at signature events as well, it gets a little bit trickier for those guys.
Let's not go too far into 2025 because there's still some business to attend to here in 2024. And the PGA Tour still has a few weeks left to this season as the playoffs are underway tomorrow in Memphis. You can catch live first round coverage of the FedEx St. Jude Championship tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Golf Channel. Here's a look at the FedEx Cup standings. Obviously, Scottie Scheffler, world's number one, sitting there as he's nearly lapped the field with those numbers. Xander presents the biggest challenge, but let's not forget about Rory McIlroy, still chasing that major, of course, but has positioned himself nicely, aiming at number three.
He has. Well, back in April, Scottie secured his second green jacket, winning the Masters tournament with a final round of 68. That was good enough to win by four strokes. And it has been quite the season, 16 starts. Just once has he been outside the top 25, just twice has he been outside the top 10, and six wins. And earlier today, Scottie sat down with Todd Lewis.
Well, Scottie, first, before we talk about this trophy, let's do talk about Paris. We saw your emotions and how important it was for you to be on the gold medal stand. You've had a week or two now to digest that. How would you describe that moment?
Well, I think it's very emotional hearing the national anthem, and I think you're even more proud to be standing there listening to it when you're on the podium and, you know, have a gold medal around your neck. And it's a position growing up I never really thought about being, because golf wasn't a part of the Olympics, and I always loved watching the Olympics winter and summer and never really imagined being a part of it. And it was definitely a pretty special time there. It had been a somewhat of a difficult week up until that point. I really hadn't played my best golf until Sunday, and yeah, things happened really quick, and it was a nice comeback, and I was definitely proud to be up there with the gold medal.
All right, now you got to recalibrate and try to win the FedEx Cup. You've had opportunities before. What have you learned from past chances to win the FedEx Cup that you hope to better this time?
Well, most of it is just, at this point, I think, is just getting ready for East Lake. With the way the format is, I think it would be fairly challenging for somebody to catch up to me in the points the way it is right now. You know, Xander and Rory are fairly close, but other than that, it'll be, unless somebody wins both the tournaments, it'll be tough for them to get into that first position. So basically just try to hold those guys off for the next 2 weeks and, you know, get ready for East Lake.
You know, today you were on the NBC Today Show. You have made yourself available as the top player in the world. Do you feel like it's kind of a beautiful responsibility to grow the tour and grow the game?
There's definitely a responsibility there. I've never really been one to kind of put myself out there too much, if that makes sense. You know, I try to keep myself pretty private at times, and so I definitely feel a bit more of a responsibility to kind of do things for the tour, if that makes sense. And I feel like if people want to talk to me and hear what I have to say, then I'm more than happy to oblige if they, you know, really want to listen to me.
You have obviously got six wins on the PGA Tour and the gold medal victory in Paris. Do you feel like you have grown as a player this year compared to years past, and if so, how?
I think mentally this has been as good of a year as I've had on tour. I think I've been doing a really good job of kind of riding things out, not getting too frustrated at times, and also just kind of keeping that mental endurance throughout the season. I feel like the last couple of years I've kind of had great starts to the year, but I haven't really finished off the year in the right way. And so I feel pretty rested, a little bit tired this week, still getting used to the time zone and whatnot. But I'm excited for the next few weeks and getting ready for.
When you talk about that mental focus, what do you feel like you're doing better mentally this year?
Well, I'm just bringing the same intensity that I would bring. Let's say if I was a rookie on tour, I would bring a lot of intensity to the final round. But I wouldn't bring that same intensity to Thursday or Friday. And I feel like when I step up on the first tee at a lot of these tournaments, I'm ready, I'm excited to play, and I'm ready to go out and compete from the get-go, not just waiting till the moment is big.
Well, finally, you've won a lot of things in your career, a lot this year. Having that on your resume means what to you?
I mean, it'd be a lot of fun. You know, the season-long race, it's all going to come down to 1 week, like I said. But, I'm excited to for the challenge of competing in the playoffs. I'm looking forward to East Lake and hopefully bring home that trophy.
Thanks, Scotty. We'll see you out there this week.
Great stuff there from Todd with Scotty, world's number one, looking to punctuate what's been a remarkable season. And he gets off tomorrow. First round pairing, all eyes on those two, 1 and 2, Scotty and Xander. They get off at 1:45 p.m. Eastern time to commence their run in the playoff.
Any advice on this guy as well? Rory McIlroy, he's won twice on the PGA Tour this season. Had a couple of stinging near misses as well, U.S. Open and the Olympics in his last start. We're going to hear from the world number three right after this break. We're back on Golf Today. 2 years ago at the Tour Championship, Rory McIlroy overcame a 6-stroke deficit at East Lake Golf Club to pass Scottie Scheffler and win his third FedEx Cup title. The win came with a pretty impressive bonus check of $18 million. This season, Rory teamed up with Shane Lowry to win the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. The Irish duo defeated Martin Traynor and Chad Ramey with a par on the first playoff hole.
Rory followed up that victory in New Orleans with his fourth victory in the Wells Fargo Championship. He overcame a 2-shot deficit, passing Xander Schauffele to win by 5. No other player has won this event more than twice. Here's a snapshot. Looking back on the year, the season that was for Rory, world's number three in 2024, and he's hoping to finish off this season with a splash, as we hear from Rory now.
I certainly don't want to sit up here and belittle my achievements at all this year and what I've done, but at the same time, yeah, I expect a certain standard from myself, and yeah, I've had, you know, I've won a couple of times, I've had an opportunity to win a few more times than that and haven't been able to get over the line. So I would have liked to, you know, added a couple more to that win column. But as I said, you know, there's still 3 tournaments left in this PGA Tour season. I think I've actually got 8 or 9 tournaments left this year, but 3 on the PGA Tour. To turn an okay season into a very good one, you know, I feel, you know, maybe a little similar to, you know, even the 3 years that I've won the FedEx Cup, I 2016, I came in to the playoffs, I think, in 36th and was able to win. But then 19 and 22, I was a little further up and a little closer to the lead. And, you know, I think when the bulk of the season has come and gone and you've got this opportunity of 3 weeks to really, I guess, flip the script a little bit or change the narrative in what that season means, I think that's a, you know, that's a motivating factor and, you know, part of the reason that I've probably played well in the playoffs for the last few years.
How would you gauge your Olympic experience?
Amazing.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I played Tokyo with, you know, COVID and no one there and everything, so it was a different experience. But, you know, we played the practice rounds at the start of the week in France with no spectators just because they didn't sell tickets for the practice rounds. And then you show up on Thursday and there's 30,000 people at the golf course. It was very cool. So I think to play in that atmosphere and in that environment, I said it at the end of the tournament. I think the Olympic Games is going to mean more and more to the game of golf as it goes along. You know, going into 28 in LA, 32 in Brisbane, you know, it's only going to become more important. I mean, you see, like what Novak Djokovic said, you know, winning that Olympic gold was the biggest sporting achievement of his career. I'm pretty sure in 10 or 20 years' time, someone in the world of golf might say that about an Olympic gold medal.
Over here, Bob.
Hey, Rory.
Hey, Bob.
You've won the FedEx Cup a couple of different ways. Do you have a preference for how it is now? I mean, do you like this format? Did you like the old one, or would you like to see parts of either or?
I love this format because if it wasn't this format, then none of us would have a chance against Scotty because he's so far ahead. Yeah. So I really like this format.
Well, in theory, you would have, though, because of the way they rejiggered the points going in.
Yeah, absolutely. But still, you know, he's so far ahead, and you don't expect Scotty to finish outside the top 5 either. So, but I, you know, the way I think it makes the Tour Championship more exciting from a consumer standpoint, is it the fairest reflection of who's been the best player of the year? Probably not, but you know, I think at this point we're not in for totally fair. We're in for entertainment and for you know, trying to put on, you know, the best product we possibly can. So yeah, it's, you know, the first year that it was the starting strokes in at Tour Championship in 2019, I was able to win that one, and then in 22 again. So I like this format. It sort of feels like it's a bit of a reset after the regular season, and not everyone's not quite on a level playing field, but it feels a little more like that.
Xander and Scotty have both had historic years. If you could choose to have one of those this year, which one would you choose for yourself and why?
Scotty's. I mean, I think winning a Masters, an Olympic gold medal, winning whatever it is, six times, that's, yeah, it's pretty hard to top that.
You called yourself the nearly man after Paris. Has that led to any reflection? Do you feel like you need to do anything differently to not have that label that you gave yourself, or just keep giving yourself a chance?
Yeah, I just have to finish off tournaments better. There's been glimpses where I have done it, like Quail Hollow, for example. But obviously US Open, you know, Olympics. It's just sort of, I feel like this year, and maybe the last couple of years, I've just found a way to hit the wrong shot at the wrong time. And that, you know, it might go into preparation and trying to practice a little more under pressure at home. I mean, it's, you know, you go through these things in golf, and you go through these little challenges, and you just have to try to figure out a way to get through it. And my challenge right now is that it's really good, but not quite good enough to sort of take home the silverware. So it's just a, you know, something I'm having to work through.
Well, the quest for the silverware begins tomorrow, 10:45 Eastern Time. Rory McIlroy going off with Colin Morikawa. Now, a soft-spoken Englishman was having a sneaky good season on the PGA Tour until this weekend, but there's nothing sneaky about it now, though. Aaron Rye won the Wyndham Championship, and he's already back at work in Memphis. He's with us. Coming right up.
Welcome back to Golf Today. On Sunday night in Greensboro, it was Aaron Rye who was victorious in the Wyndham Championship for the last PGA Tour event of the regular season. Rye closed in the final round 6-under-64 with a birdie at the last to post 18 under par. Rye has been known for some unique aspects to his game, including wearing two gloves, something he started doing when he was 8 years old. Aaron also uses iron covers, which some might think odd, but to Rye, he says they help him to appreciate the value of what you have, and you gotta love that.
And it's quite a career Aaron Rye is building since he had his first full season on the PGA Tour back in 2022. 89 starts, a win now, a runner-up, 11 top 10, 31 top 25 finishes, and of course that victory came just 3 days ago, the Wyndham Championship. And Aaron Rye joins us now from Memphis, Tennessee. Aaron, congratulations on the victory. The sun was going down when you got that win on Sunday night. You're already back at work. Have you actually had time to celebrate?
Not yet, no. I've caught up with family and friends and caught up with a few messages over the last couple of days. But as you said, it's been pretty condensed and obviously a big 2, potentially 3 week stretch ahead. So, just kind of continued straight into this week, really.
Well, Aaron, we can't stop talking about it. It was such a wild finish, and it was so impressive to watch you remain disciplined, calm, and continue to do what you've done throughout your career, be so incredibly accurate. Were you aware, going back to that final round, those final holes there in Greensboro, were you aware of the chaos around you? Griezmann struggles late, Matt Kuchar teeing off and unknowingly hitting into you guys. Were you aware of all the chaos around you as you delivered so calmly?
Fortunately, I wasn't really aware of what was going on. We were on the 14th tee when Max held that shot on 13. but I wasn't really aware of what the situation was. I was aware that something had happened kind of down 17, 18, and then my caddy mentioned on 18 of just really trying to play a good hole, and I think by him saying that, I knew that maybe we were either tied for the lead or in the lead. But I think all of those things probably worked out in our favor just to really stay focused and try and play a good hole and a good few holes at the end of that stretch rather than trying to play the situation too much. I also wasn't aware of the tee shot that Matt hit. Again, I think we were just preparing for the second shot into 18. So, yeah, I guess it was good to remain blissfully unaware of what was going on there.
I want to take you back a few weeks before the Wyndham, Aaron. You were going into the Rocket Mortgage Classic. You were outside the top 70 cutoff for the players. Since then, you've only finished worse than seventh once in five starts. How aware were you of the playoff cut for the FedEx Cup at that stage? And what changed? Why did you suddenly hit this very rich vein of form over the last couple of months?
I think the FedEx Cup playoffs are a consistent narrative throughout the year. Us as players all know what it means to make any of the playoff events, with it being the top 70 to play this week. You have to have a really consistent season to be here. And then also with the advantages of being in the top 50 and being in the signature events the following year, everyone really knows the importance of that. So although it wasn't at the forefront of my mind, I was aware of where we were in the FedEx Cup. I think since the Rocket Mortgage, the week before that, I had a practice week. I spent a lot of time with my dad back in Jacksonville, and he helped me out with a few things on my putting. A lot of it was more visual rather than technique, and that also coincided with the first week that I started to work with John Graham, who's a putting coach out on the PGA Tour. And again, very, very similar theme with him, very little technique. Focus on just keeping the technique very simple, but just focus on the visual side and improving the skills at green reading. And that was the biggest change, really. Putted extremely well at the Rocket Mortgage. Felt comfortable. It felt simple as well, which was key. And that continued for the next couple of weeks after that as well. And obviously continued into last week too.
Aaron, in talking to you and following your career, it's very clear that you're all class, even how you're handling winning, how you've handled your entire career to this point. Class was kind of oozing out of your final grouping there in Greensboro. I kept following, like many, your partner in that final grouping, and Billy Horschel, a fellow Jacksonville resident, and also a practice partner of yours. He seemed to be a positive presence for you down the stretch. What were those interactions down the stretch for you, and how did they help you?
Yeah, he really was. He really was. Even since I first came out onto the PGA Tour, he's always been very kind with me, very giving with his time. We spoke a little bit throughout both rounds on Sunday. He was definitely a little bit more enthusiastic, certainly from the 16th hole onwards. Hit a really nice tee shot into 16. He was just really positive. Even walking up to the green, I could tell that he almost wanted me to make the putt more than myself. And then just very encouraging in the last two holes, just fist bumps after good shots. And just a really nice energy. So that rarely happens. But that just shows a touch of class from him. It just shows that he's as good of a person as he is a golfer.
Aaron, I read last year that you were in the field at the Genesis Invitational at Riviera, but you actually went out to watch Tiger Woods during the Pro-Am. As a fan, you were just wandering around watching the great man play. Why did you do that? Because as I recall, it wasn't exactly a fine Los Angeles day that you went out there to watch him either.
No, I think he was first off in the Pro-Am on the Wednesday. It was pretty cold as well and pretty windy. I'm aware that there are not going to be loads of opportunities to watch him over the coming years. It is likely to be majors and some of the big events like Riviera. So I thought having that opportunity whilst I also wasn't playing in the Pro-Am that day, I haven't got to see him up close and personal. I haven't had really much chance to watch his game, to see the shots that he would play. So Obviously, it was amazing to be around him and also to meet him. I wasn't really expecting that, but I just went out there to just try and watch him, just to see what he's about. And yeah, it was a very memorable experience, both meeting him for the first time, but also just watching the way that he goes about things. He's still incredible even now. I think if he was able to put a run together in a season, he would still be one of the best players in the world comfortably. I was so impressed by what I saw on that Wednesday.
Aaron, the mark of an athlete is how they adjust through the highs and lows of their sport, and you're at the top of your sport right now, most especially coming off of your first PGA Tour win. So how do you take from that high and remain grounded and level? What is your mindset going in? This is rare air for you, coming off your first PGA Tour win, going out here competing with so much on the line in a playoff.
Yeah, I think it will be a slightly different experience. There are not many events that I've won and then gone straight into another tournament the week after. And as you said, with it being the start of the playoffs, these are three very important weeks. So I think that's probably a little bit of trial and error in the process, and hopefully I'll learn along the way this week. In terms of trying to stay balanced and grounded, it's an extremely difficult game. No matter what level of golf you play at, no matter what the current form is, it's an extremely humbling game as well. And the game will be the first thing to show you when you're a little bit off, whether that's a little bit off internally or with your thoughts, or whether your game is a little bit off. So there's no hiding from that in the game, and there's definitely no hiding from that at this level of golf. So I think it's just important to try and continue doing some of the really good things that we're doing collectively as a team, and to see where that takes us. I think it's important not to try and change the expectations too much. I know it's easier said than done, but I think we're doing a lot of things really well, and we'll just try and continue those for as long as we can.
There's a lot of social media commentary at the weekend, Aaron, suggesting that Matt Kuchar's decision to wait until Monday to finish somehow diminished your victory moment. Kuchar became something of a punchbag on social media. Did you feel as though your moment in the sun Sunday night was in any way impacted by what Matt Kuchar chose to do?
Not at all. I'm not really on social media, so I don't really know what the reaction was there. But it was getting extremely dark. Obviously, Matt was finishing even later than us, so he would have had every right to make that choice of what felt best for him and what felt best in that situation. And if he has that right, he has every right to exercise that choice. Every player does, and every player should. And I think if he's being criticized for that, then I don't really agree with it, if I'm honest. He has to do what is best for him and what gives him the best chance. And yeah, on a personal note, I don't feel like that diminished the Sunday in any way.
A lot of fans have embraced the story of why you use iron covers. I guess it kind of fits with this idea that too many people in golf have lost sense of the value of money and how hard most people work for it. Do you think that's a fair assessment that a lot of fans have, that maybe there is a little too much focus in the game on the financial rewards these days, and maybe just having a little bit more appreciation for how you got there, it really resonates with fans?
Yeah, I would agree to an extent. That has been the narrative in the media as well for quite a while now, since LIV and the PGA and also the merger over the last year or so. I think as golfers, though, for the most part, we fell in love with the game for what the game signifies and for the challenges that we face and for how much we learn along in the process. And I think the Olympics was also a great reminder of that. Everyone that I've spoken to and everyone that has spoken in the media about it are so positive about the experience. And I think that's just a really nice reminder for what sport is and what golf is. And that's not currently the period that we're in at the moment, obviously with LIV and some of the ongoing situations in the game. But I think little things like that are just a nice reminder, really.
Absolutely. I couldn't said it better myself. A worthy and a refreshing champion. Aaron Rye, we appreciate the time. Best of luck down there in Memphis this week.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Coming up in hour number two of Golf Today, the stars are out in Memphis as the playoffs get underway. Scotty, Rory, and even Xander Schauffele, who looks to bounce back after a disappointing finish at the Olympics. We'll hear his thoughts as he chases the FedEx Cup. Six-time PGA Tour winner Max Homa, he joins the show looking to finish the season strong with a FedEx Cup title. Golf Today, rolling along in hour two, right now.
Golf Today.
Come on into the studios here on Golf Today. We've got a lot of star power. We've already had Aaron Rye in the first hour. We have Eamon Lynch for both hours here. And in the second hour here coming up very shortly, we hear from Max Homa out in Memphis. Pretty good stuff.
It really is. And Aaron Rye is such a guy you can root for as well. The story about the iron covers, the story about going out there to watch Tiger Woods as a fan at last year's Genesis Invitational on a cold morning in Los Angeles. Everything about the guy communicates that he's appreciative of being there. He's appreciative of everything this game has given him. And that's a sentiment that gets easily lost these days. It's nice to hear it from a guy who's winning on tour.
Yeah, and I thought it was an impressive question from you when you asked that, because you kind of packaged it as Aaron isn't our typical star, right? That there's a refreshing element to him that none of this is lost upon him. He really understands what's happening right now is really cool, but he's also worked very hard to get there from humble beginnings.
He really has, and he understands what his parents put in to put him in this position as well.
That's absolutely right. Well, the PGA Tour's playoffs, they've officially arrived. It's the top 70 in the FedEx Cup standings. Teed up in Memphis this week in the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Live first round coverage. It's coming your way Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Golf Channel. Here's a look at the FedEx Cup standings and the top 10 players. Just tons of stars on the board. That's what the playoffs provide. Todd Lewis was able to catch up today with Xander and Rory, two of those stars.
Scottie Scheffler has a lead of 1,936 points over Xander Schauffele in the FedEx Cup standings. Now, over the next 2 weeks, points are quadrupled compared to regular season events. You win a regular season event, you get 500 points. You win over the next 2 weeks, you get 2,000. So if Xander Schauffele happens to win here in Memphis, all Scottie Scheffler has to do is finish 39th or better to maintain his lead heading to the BMW Championship. Now, Xander has some momentum winning his second major championship last month at Royal Troon, but he also arrives here at Memphis motivated after what he considers a below-average performance in the final round of the Olympics.
I think more motivated to just keep playing good golf. You know, the last thing I did was shoot 74 on Sunday at the Olympics, and so that's sort of what's in my mind and what's motivating me to be better. And that's what I'm thinking about. You know, it's kind of what I'm carrying coming to these playoffs. You know, I've had a really good stretch of golf, but to end my month in Europe like that wasn't great. So motivated from that sense.
Do you treat this as a new season, these last three events?
A little bit. You know, you fight for your spot kind of coming in. You know, you have your sort of seeding, I guess, and then the winner gets 2,000 points. So it's, you know, Scotty has won a lot, six times for a FedEx Cup and seven total. So he is far enough ahead to where if someone wins, you know, that's inside the Comcast top 10, they may not jump him, but you're still going to be right there. You know, once East Lake comes, you're only going to be, what, two or three shots back, depending on how you play these next two events.
I know you want to tee it up and hold any trophy, but holding the FedEx Cup, what does that mean to you?
It's big. You know, it's, you know, us tour players, we feel like we have the best tour in the world. And to be able to be crowned the year-long winner is something that we're all shooting for.
Rory McIlroy had a nice Paris Games as well, finishing tied for fifth. Yet another close call for him over the last few months. McIlroy is the only player on the PGA Tour with three FedEx Cup titles, and he already has a formula to win number four.
If I can just be within three or four shots at East Lake with the starting strokes, I'm in a good position. I'm in third at the minute. If I can put in two solid performances here and Colorado next week, you know, and I can be within that, you know, three or four Going into East Lake, I'll feel like, especially with my history around that golf course, I'll feel like I've got a really good chance.
I want to quickly look back on the season as we now enter the playoffs. You've got two great wins on the PGA Tour. And lately, you've had some really strong finishes, four top fives in the last six starts. Do you look at those finishes, given how elite a player you are, as good finishes or disappointments you didn't win?
Disappointment I didn't win. I think if I'm looking at some of the Canada was a top five. Obviously, the US Open was the one that I really feel like I let slip through my fingers. Another solid performance in Scotland. And then the Olympics, I got on that run on the back nine on Sunday. And if I had a par those last four holes, I would have won the bronze medal. If I had done what Scotty done and birdied two of those last four, I would have been tied with him at 19 under. So, the US Open and Olympics are the ones that I really feel like I let sort of pass me by. So I think even though the golf has been very good, I think the thing I have to remind myself is I'm playing very good golf. But it's hard to not look back at those last few events where I've been so close and not be somewhat disappointed that I wasn't able to do more and finish a couple of them off.
Rory McIlroy has a pretty good history here at TPC Southwind. Just last year, he missed out on a playoff between Patrick Cantlay and eventual winner Lucas Glover. And if McIlroy or any other player needs some incentive in trying to chase down Scottie Scheffler, all they need to do is look back on his history in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Dating back to 2020, he has yet to win a playoff event, and he has not won the FedEx Cup despite entering the Tour Championship with the lead in each of the last two seasons.
Eamon, there's certainly some intrigue coming into these playoffs for me, and as we hear from Xander there and a lot of conversation around Scotty leading up to this is the first real opportunity I think we're going to have this season where it's an inevitable stare down between world's number one and world's number two. We really haven't had that moment. If there's been anything we've been deprived of this season, is we haven't seen Scotty and Xander going after each other with something on the line like a FedEx Cup championship.
Not very often. I mean, they were 1-2 at the Players' Championship this year. And I suppose if you were Scotty Scheffler, and if you wanted to be arrogant about it, which he isn't, he would probably argue, well, Xander was in the field in all six of his wins. But Xander can point out, well, I won two majors when Scotty Scheffler was in the field as well. But that's perhaps the benefit of the staggered stroke system here heading into East Lake. There's a very good chance that we're going to arrive for a Thursday stare down between those two guys at East Lake, with the way the point system will translate into the staggered scoring system beginning the Tour Championship.
I also feel like it has a chance to heighten intrigue in the sport itself. I mean, I think people are saying Xander's pretty good, but can he really compete with Scotty and who Scotty is? I mean, we're entertaining the conversation about Player of the Year, but it's clearly going to go Scotty's way, I think, no matter what happens. That's my belief. Mm-hmm. But to see Xander really apply pressure here, go out and truly challenge Scotty, it does lend to some 25 intrigue. Like, okay, maybe Scotty has a formidable foe. I mean, he's presented himself to this point, Xander, to a degree there. You win two majors, you should be respected. And he is, but is he a true competitor of Scotty? I think that can kind of play itself out here.
Well, it's very easy to take the attitude that no one's really competing against Scotty because of what Scotty's done this year. But Xander has two of the biggest trophies in the game sitting on his mantle right now. And I get the fact that it's a stare down. They are demonstrably the two best players in golf right now. Nobody else is even close. I just wonder if it's a different angle to it. They're very low-intensity guys. They aren't loud. They're not abrasive. And I just wonder, from a spectator standpoint, it gives you a chance to appreciate the excellence of the golf that they produce without all of the theatrics that go around it.
I would try to tack this on. I would like to see world's number three and Rory make a little bit of noise here, because, again, it hasn't been a horrible season for Rory. It's just been one devoid of a major, and the standard that's set for a guy who spent 122 weeks as world's number one, you expect to see that moment from him. We haven't gotten that, but wow, if Rory can make some noise here in these first two tournaments leading up to East Lake, it could really change the narrative of the year that was, and Rory mentioned that. He's very aware of that.
And even as he said, if he's just within a couple of strokes heading into East Lake, he's managed to win there three times. If he's in position, he's probably going to fancy his chances.
There, we're finding that intrigue. Whole lot to watch with these FedEx Cup playoffs. Speaking of watching, 1:45 p.m. Eastern Time, tee time, world's number one and world's number two. Scotty and Xander, the headliners, no question. Let's take a listen to Scotty earlier today in Memphis.
I think it's a golf course that should suit me pretty well. I haven't really played my best here the last few years. You know, I have good memories around this place. It was one of the first tour events I ever played in 2014, and it was my first tour event as a professional in 2018. And so the tournament's always supported me from the beginning, and so that's why it's great to be back here. It's great that this tournament is in the playoffs and has a lot of significance to us. And yeah, my relationship with the golf course, hopefully it'll improve this year.
Next question, we'll come over here to the left.
Yeah, Scotty, building off that, for all of your success, particularly in these limited field events, this has given you a little bit of trouble. What in particular about TPC Southwind has been difficult for you, and is there anything you're looking to do differently this year?
I mean, just play better, really. It's hard for me to remember the last few years. The scores are typically low here, and I just haven't really shot that low. Why that is, some years I didn't hit it good, some years I didn't putt it good. Well, like I said, I feel like it's a golf course that should suit me. You know, it's not super wide. You got to hit good shots. Bermuda Green is what I grew up on. So I'm excited about the week. I'm excited for the golf course. I think it's a really good test, and looking forward to the week.
All right, come back to the middle.
Anything about the aftermath of the Olympics and winning surprise you? Maybe either your own reaction or others' reaction to you winning?
Yeah, I guess maybe my own reaction. I didn't really know what it would be like to stand on the podium, and I felt like the week was a challenging week because I felt like I was playing really well, and I just was not getting anything out of it, and I was just falling further and further behind, and then I just kept telling myself to wait till I got hot, because I knew once I started making some birdies, I felt like they were going to come in bunches just with the way I was playing. And, you know, Teddy did a really good job of keeping me patient. And it felt like, you know, at one point on Sunday, it was almost like we ran out of time and, you know, I wasn't going to get it done. And so they almost changed to still just try to work your way up the leaderboard. You know, when you got Rahm at 20 and I was sitting there 6-7 shots back, you know, sometimes it can almost feel insurmountable at that point. You know, you really got to rely on him making a mistake and me playing some great golf. So if you look at it just in terms of I'm six back, oh, I have to birdie every single hole, I think you get a little bit distracted. And so I kind of just tried to tell myself to make some birdies, see if you can get into medal position, and then go from there, and was able to make some nice birdies. And then all of a sudden, you know, I looked at the leaderboard there on 17, and I was expecting to be one behind with, I think Tommy and John were both at 18 going into 14 with it being a reachable par five. I figured at least one of them was going to make birdie. And when I walked up onto the green on 17, I had a putt, which I thought was going to be to tie for the lead, and all of a sudden it was Rahm had fallen back, and it was just Tommy up there, and it was to take the lead over only one guy. That was a really important moment. And, yeah, standing on the podium, I think, was, yeah, I mean, definitely one of the coolest things that I'll ever experience in golf. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Obviously, you've had a great year winning the Olympics, the Masters, becoming a father. Do you have a favorite moment of the season, golf-related, non-golf-related?
Well, I think the non-golf related, I think, is pretty easy with, you know, my son being born. And I think the last few weeks have been especially fun because he's starting to develop a little bit and, like, learn how to smile and stuff like that. And it's really cool, you know, when you get in his face and he recognizes you and he's like, oh, hey, man, what's up? Like, hi. Whereas the first, you know, 8 to 10 weeks of his life, you're trying to make eye contact with him and he won't even look at you. So that part's been really fun. As far as golf, I mean, it's been great getting some results and being able to get some wins this year. It's been a ton of fun. I really don't know what my exact favorite memory would be, but the Olympics was pretty special. You know, the Players was very special. The Masters obviously was special as well. And so it's hard to really pick a favorite. You know, all of them were cool in their own way. You know, you think of the Players, you know, I had my family there, had the big comeback on Sunday. You know, the Masters is almost like you know, having it be the second win and it being close and the way I really closed out the back nine was cool. And then, you know, with Paris, with whole family being there and Bennett and Mayer, and those are pretty special memories, you know, playing for the USA. So it's tough to choose a favorite out of those, but all of them were pretty special.
And here's where you can catch the action for the FedEx St. Jude Championship Thursday and Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Golf Channel and Peacock. 1 p.m. for the third round Saturday, and the final round gets underway on Golf Channel and Peacock at 12 noon, moves to NBC at 2 p.m. Coming up next, it's been an up and down year for one of the most popular figures in the game. At times enough to test the famous and sharp humor of Max Homa. We find out where he is with his game as the playoffs get underway. Max is coming up when Golf Today returns.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Welcome back to Golf Today. The PGA Tour is in Memphis this week for the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. The FedEx St. Jude Championship, it's underway on Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. You can catch it right here on Golf Channel. Pretty impressive pairing to get you going at 12:20 p.m. Eastern time. Max Homa begins his push to a championship and is looking at his first round pairing of the FedEx St. Jude Championship. And we're joined now by Max Homa down there in Memphis. And Max, in the home stretch of what is naturally a grind of a season, you got to get up for a playoff. What is your mentality as you enter now one sleep away of chasing a championship?
Yeah, it's cool. It's exciting. I think sometimes the year can slog along a little bit. It's been obviously a little bit more compressed than normal. So you're looking for a boost of adrenaline, and the playoffs are a perfect time to get that.
Max, your last start was at the Open Championship, and it was a pretty cool moment. You made a long putt for birdie to make the cut on the number, and you let out a visceral scream, which showed how much it meant to you, but it also, I guess, spoke to the frustrations you'd felt this year. And you had a great line after that when you said, expectation is a hell of a drug. What did you mean by that, and what did you expect in 2024 that maybe you haven't seen?
Yeah, I just think you always think you finally have gotten over the hump of golf being impossibly hard, and then you're reminded pretty quickly that it's always going to be impossibly hard. You should appreciate the times where it feels relatively easy more often. But yeah, it's been just a kind of roller coaster year, some really great moments, and then basically a 2-month lull. So yeah, I was just excited. I wanted to play two more rounds with the Open. I wanted to win, kind of an internal battle of not giving up. I wanted to get some points going into this playoff run. I wanted to, make some headway to try to solidify a spot on the Presidents Cup. So just a lot of it kind of came out. And I don't know, every once in a while, it's supposed to have some fun on the golf course. So that was a fun moment.
Yeah. Max, it's really interesting. And I'm glad that Eamon mentioned that expectation being a hell of a drug. It feels like media and fans, we watch you great golfers. We watch Max Homa out there and be like, well, he's elite. He's had such great performances. It's almost expected all the time. Is that something that is a commonality that all you elite golfers have to manage, this expectation that feels otherworldly at times?
I think it's just mostly our own. Like I said, I think at times your swing feels like it's what could possibly go wrong, and then life happens and something gets off, and then you're chasing something. So it's just the nature of the game, but as quickly as it can get off, it can get back on. So having the last 3 weeks off is kind of one of those reinvigorating moments or times when you get to work at stuff and kind of forget about the rest of the world and just work at your craft. So I think in general that's more what it is. It's just our day-to-day, sometimes you want to bottle something and you can't. And if you could, I think a lot of people would be a lot better and a lot happier. But I think that's the beauty of this sport.
How much do you allow yourself to think about what good golf will deliver for you, Max? Now, you're 35th in the FedEx Cup, so you're guaranteed a couple of weeks pretty much of playoff action. You need to make a little bit of a move to get to Eastlake. You're outside of the automatic picks for the President's Cup. How much is Eastlake and a President's Cup in the back of your mind right now?
No more than usual. I think it's just always in the back of my mind. Those are, the two goals: to start every year, make the U.S. team for one of the team events this year, President's Cup, and make the Tour Championship. So, yeah, they're just always in the back of my mind. But I have a lot of fun chasing, whatever my potential could be. So as much as it's, in my mind, I'm still just looking to play great golf like I would any week. So it's just, it's a fun chase. Obviously, you get rewarded if you play great, but I'm not looking at it as a burden. It's something I would really love to do, but I think the harder you try to hold on to that, the harder it actually is to attain. So, as they say, one foot in front of the other and see what's what.
Well, Max, you played great in this very event on that very course a year ago, finishing T6. What do you draw upon from what you achieved last year and try to bring this week in Memphis?
Yeah, that I could play this golf course all right. I've struggled prior years, so I do think it sets up okay for me in that, it's a pretty tight little plot yourself a long type place. I think I've putt the greens pretty well the last couple times here, or at least That's what I'm remembering, so that's good. I enjoy the challenge. It's a difficult golf course, a lot of trouble, difficult to chip, but it's high reward. You hit great tee shots, the second shots feel really easy. So I like that part of this golf course a lot. I enjoy the challenge this place, you know, kind of presents. And yeah, so I think last year was good. I have good memories of playing this place. I mean, no one goes unscathed around here, but I feel like I left with just a couple scratches and not a gash. So I'm gonna at least know that I can get around this place all right when I'm playing well.
Max, you've been pretty vocal earlier this season about how there's too much focus on the business of golf and too many people talking about money and golf, and that it's a turnoff for the average fan who just wants to see the best perform at their best. Does that become a trickier scenario for players when they're asked questions in press conferences for the next 3 weeks? Because the narrative really is building up at this point of the season into these very lucrative bonuses that are available at the Tour Championship. Is that a tough line to walk as a player, where you don't want to have that conversation, but it's kind of what the narrative is?
Yeah, I guess it is probably tricky. I just think that, I don't know, everyone's different. Winning the FedEx Cup is such an honor. Obviously, the financial compensation you get for that is outrageous and amazing, but I still think that the honor of winning it is, and ending the season as, you know, the top point getter is a tremendous goal. So I don't think people really believe me when I say that, but that is a reason I want to end the season in the highest rank I can, because it means a lot to me. You know, it means I've done the work. It means that I've performed. It means that I've executed when I needed to. But when it gets pushed as just like the bonus we get for finishing fifth or fourth or first, then, you know, that's what it seems like it comes down to. But I think everybody out here has made it to where they are at because they are more, they fall more in love with high finishes and the joy that brings them than, you know, the direct money that we get from it. I do think obviously that's a great part of my life, and I'm not asking for it to change by any means, but I think that you get here because you have a love for the game and a love for competing and a love for beating, you know, the other best players in the world. So that's what drives us. The rest is great, and I just, you know, it probably is going to be a tricky line to walk in over the next 3 weeks of interviews for sure.
As you mentioned, great. One name comes to mind, certainly with the year he's had to this point. That's Xander Schauffele, a colleague and friend of yours. What do you make of the year that's been so far for Xander to this point?
It's pretty special. He has barely played a week that wasn't tremendous. It's not surprising, of course. I mean, he's an amazing golfer, one of the best putters you'll ever see. He's hitting at 9 miles. He's just good at everything. He has an amazing head on his shoulders. So it's never surprising, but it is always kind of jaw-dropping when you just see what he's done for this entire season. It's hard to do. I think, you know, only two guys have been that consistent, and it's fascinating to be able to see him do it, because, again, everybody knows how great he is, but to do it week in, week out is tough, even for the best, so it's very impressive.
You've proven yourself pretty adept at social media, Max, and you've become very popular. There are other guys aren't necessarily so lucky, and Matt Kuchar has been something of a punch bag over the last few days, with a lot of people pointing out, well, you know, he couldn't win the tournament, he couldn't make the playoffs, but he did actually have something at stake. He is trying to stay in the top 125, so he made his decision on Sunday night based on what's right for him. Do you think Kuchar's gotten something of a raw deal in terms of the reaction to the decision he made on Sunday?
To be quite honest, and I'm quite proud of this, I've not been on, so I don't know what's getting, I can imagine what's being said, but at least it was entertaining, so we got that going for us. I have no idea. If people are super, super angry, I don't think he's going to lose sleep over that, so yeah, I'm not sure what has been said, but yeah, prayers to Cooch, though, if he is on there. It's sure it wouldn't be an enjoyable place to be, kind of why I try to refrain from doing it during the middle of the season, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was funny, probably not for everybody involved, but I mean, at least it got us in the news, so that's always good.
You know, one of the things that's always refreshing about you, Max, is you're very thoughtful in your responses. You're self-deprecating at times. You're very honest. Where does that come from? Where does that, and when you hear from people in your life, they say who you are off the camera is the same person you are on the camera and inside the ropes as outside of them. Where does that come from?
I'm not sure. You got to be good at something, so maybe that's what I got. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm happy. I feel like a lot of people are. Maybe I just get credit for it. I'm not really sure. I know a lot of people that are quite great out here that are also great when we're in the locker room or at dinner. So I just seem to be the one that gets the lucky dubbed as that, luckily. So I'll take it while I can get it.
Do you find it's getting easier these days, Max, to tune out all of the noise about what's happening at a board level? Because things have quieted down a little bit over the last couple of months as various committees have gone to do their work in, I guess, in more private circumstances than maybe it was happening before. But do you feel as though, as a player, it's less of a chatter week to week on the PGA Tour that you're kind of dragged into?
Yeah, I think everyone finally got fatigue. So it's not that I don't care, but nothing actually has happened. So I think we're kind of now to the rumor fatigue. So when it happens, we'll all probably start chit-chatting again. But for the time being, I think we're just going to go back to our regularly scheduled programming, play golf, and wait till somebody tells us something has changed. So it's been nice. I am on the pack, so I get a bit more information than maybe some, but even then it's died down a bit. I think everyone's just been playing a bit more golf, which has been nice.
The 25 tour schedule being released, Max, was there any reaction to that initially from you? Nothing earth-shattering really coming out there.
Didn't see it, sorry. So I'm going to say no. Nobody messaged anything about anything crazy. Obviously, we've done a lot of talking about it in the pack meetings. I never actually saw the real schedule. But I know everything we've been talking about in these meetings and what we would like to see to make it, you know, the season flow better and make it more entertaining for everybody who's watching. I'm pretty optimistic about just where things are going. It's always interesting, you know, to see from the inside. Every change is really well thought out. It doesn't always work, but we're trying to move things in the right direction always to just make it more entertaining for the fans. So, but not just 25 season, but beyond. I know that every little thing that changes, even if it's not a massive ordeal, is well thought out, and they're just trying to keep kind of evolving and making things better.
Well, Max, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us ahead of your playoff push here. Best of luck to you.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. Take care.